Hello and welcome to the third episode of Mole in Hell, your Diablo podcast. My name is Chaos Mole, and surprise, there is another podcast. As you might know, I said that we are now pushing the podcast into like a two-week turnover because there's not a lot to talk about since the beta is out. Or off, not out, off. But the reality is, surprise, there's actually some topics we have to talk about regarding Diablo 4. And there's actually a pretty big one this week. If you've missed it, Blizzard has released the Into the Endgame video, a 6-minute long video where they are talking about the endgame. Or, well, you could say you hope that we talk about the endgame, because unfortunately they do not. They talk 6 minutes about how amazing the game will be, and trust me, bro, and they don't really show anything really, and they don't really go too much into detail about how it will actually play. It's one of those videos you watch, and after 6 minutes you go, wait a minute, that was 6 minutes, but you haven't said anything yet. What's going on here? So normally I would just put this video aside and go like, oh, you know, well, yeah. Was a nice marketing video, which is meant for people who have never really dabbled into Diablo, and that's it, right? We are done. We are moving on. The thing is, this video actually had consequences, and not necessarily good ones. So first things first, the video has more downvotes as it has upvotes. I know some people might ask, wait a minute, downvotes? Hasn't YouTube removed that? Well, only on the surface level, which is the problem. You can still give downvotes, and the creator is still seeing the downvotes. And because the creator can see it, thanks to some extensions and browsers, you can still kind of data mine that information, and so you can still see it. It's a weird thing. But however, it is more downvoted than is upvoted. The comments are also not to be read. Like, seriously, if you have some great holidays right now and you're relaxing a little bit and you think, you know what, today is actually a pretty nice day, do not read the comments under that video. It's bad. It's really bad. And you know what? I want to make something very clear before we are jumping into this topic. I'm still hyped for Diablo 4. I'm still looking forward to it. I still make a lot of content for it. And nothing really changes because I have played the beta and I have seen the game. And for me, the game is good. This is something I did not have in Diablo 3. When I played the beta of Diablo 3, I already had a very bad feeling about the game itself. And when the game came out, I was like, yup, I was right. Right? And I don't have that. I don't have that with Diablo 4. Like, I've played Diablo 4, I've put in a lot of hours, and I absolutely enjoy my time. So even if it will sound very critical in the next few minutes, keep in mind, nothing has changed for me. I am still very much looking forward to the game, but I'm also not blind to things which can be improved, and with being critical about the game, because let's be real here, we all want that the game is good. We all want to enjoy the game, and we want that as many people come to the game because they hear from their friends, families, or on the internet, oh my god, have you played Diablo 4? And so, of course, pointing out some areas of improvement, I think, is very important. I hate this whole fandomness where people are just protecting the game no matter what, and they don't allow anything, like any critic points, to rise up. I have seen this with Final Fantasy XIV over the decade now, where I sometimes think, look, don't get me wrong, Final Fantasy XIV, best MMO out there, love it to death, but we have to talk about some of the issues this game has, and we cannot just pretend that the game is just absolved right? Like, that's something which is very important, and that's what we are doing today. Again, still loving Diablo 4. So, what happened? Well, first things first, let's talk a little bit about what they have showcased and why the people are actually pissed. And then we talk about the reason why people are not really trusting Blizzard with all of this. So the first thing they talked about was how you improve your character after you were done with the leveling phase. Or not the leveling phase, but like the story phase, right? You were ending the story at around level 50, and this is where the end game begins. And then you can still level up to level 100, so they're still leveling. But however, when you are reaching level 50, you are kind of going into the end game, and they talked about how you can improve your character afterwards. And one of the main features they, again, briefly showcased, this is such a wonderful example of we talked a lot and we didn't say anything, right? But they showed the Paragon system. And they were like, oh yeah, the Paragon system is where it's really at, and where your mind is really starting to race, because you now have so many options, so many things to decide for, and there's some real in-depth decision making in that system. And they're showcasing it, and you cannot help but to laugh about what they are seeing as you will make some tough decisions here, because 90% of the Paragon board is just 5 plus intelligence, 5 plus dex, 5 plus strength, 5 plus vitality, right? And then you have your occasional, okay, this will actually change some of your abilities or what you're doing with like certain attacks or something like that, but everything else is just plus 5 to stats. And it's kind of really unfortunate, because in Diablo 3, when the Paragon system was introduced, a lot of people just said, oh, it's basically just another way to make the character stronger beyond item and leveling phase, so that they can do higher difficulties and can manage higher difficulties even if they're not getting the right items, because they can just increase their stats indefinitely. And people were okay that it exists in Diablo 3, but in the end, they said, hey, we have to acknowledge that this is not really great, and this is not really giving me any decisions I can make, right? So when a lot of people saw the Paragon board again, people were like, oh, that's weird. It's the same thing, but this time I'm clicking stats on the board instead of clicking the stats in my character sheet with the Paragon system, right? And yeah, like Blizzard, show me the differences in having the same character, the same class, but with different Paragon boards. Like, show me like a few clips on how those classes differentiate in comparison. They didn't do that. They just told us, trust us, it would be mind-boggling. And people saw the footage and they were going, I don't think so, because even just with the 5 seconds of footage you showed me here, I completely understood what I'm looking at. That's not mind-boggling, right? And it's just unfortunate, really, right? It's like, yeah, it will not be that interesting. It will not be a PoE. It will not be a Last Epoch, even, who has a talent tree for every single ability in the game. And those talent trees are not just 20% more damage. Yeah, that exists. That totally exists. But there are so many abilities where you go, oh, damn. Oh, this is changing completely how this ability works and what it does. Oh, man, I have only 20 points, and this already cost me 10 points to get there. I have to think about a solution here, right? We are not going there with Diablo, and that's kind of okay, but I will be honest with you. The more I'm seeing about Diablo 4 Endgame, And the more I'm hearing about what they had planned in the past, right, when we have those development or developer book thingies coming up, those updates over the last 2 years, they sounded far more ambitious. And now it feels a lot like Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls kind of content. It's safe, it's the same thing, and it kinda is there to keep you playing, but not because you really want to play it, but because it's there to keep the retention up. Because that's what a lot of companies are looking for nowadays, right? This retention rate, how they can make it so that the people are logging in every day, not because they're enjoying the game, but because it feels more like work. And there's signs of that there. So the next thing, talking about repetitiveness, the next thing they kind of made a big deal about is the dungeon system, which is coming with the end game. I think Nightmare Dungeons are they called? And man, they just copied the system from World of Warcraft. They literally did go to World of Warcraft and were like, that dungeon system, let's copy paste it into Diablo. And I don't really have a problem with that. Like, a lot of people enjoy that system in World of Warcraft, right? So why not use something which works, right? And I wouldn't mind too much, but the problem is, I remember the dungeons, and the dungeons were kind of the most boring thing in Diablo 4. Absolute repetitive. They look the same sometimes. The enemies are the same. The bosses are sometimes the same. And it just feels like so unambitious. Like in the beta, how many dungeons did we had? 30? 30 something? I think 26, 24 or something like that. I don't remember the exact number. I have to look it up. But I have played them all. I have literally played them all. And after I was done with them, they could have axed them in half, if not even more. And I think it would have been better if they would have put just more quality and more thought process into like the dungeon and make them just more interesting. Like, I'm just not a big fan of mass over class, right? Quantity over quality. I'm not a fan of that. And it became quite a bit in the beta. So I'm looking at the release version. I'm going like, whew. So most of the dungeons will be available as nightmare dungeons. And the only thing it changes is like some of the affixes of the enemies you are fighting in, or some of the environmental hazards, and that's it. Okay. I mean, it will work. People will play it still, but it feels very unambitious, right? And that brings us to the next point, which, okay. I know this sounds crazy, but when I heard them talking about the next thing, I was like, whoa. Did you just describe Rift? It's kind of funny to me. I know most people don't even know Rift at this point. But so they talked about the open world events, and we already have open world events in the leveling phase, but now it will have fire raining from the sky, and the sky will become red. Yeah, that is the endgame addition to those events you have been already doing for probably like 20, 30 hours. And it's like, what? Okay, don't get me wrong. That's fine. I don't mind that. Like, it's something similar Rift did, right? With this, you have those small rifts at the beginning, and then later on you have those raid rifts, which was basically just the addition of like a boss or like some affixes to like that word event. Don't get me wrong, I don't mind that. I really love the world events. I was doing them quite a bit. But it's this, wait a minute, what? That's all? I don't really see how you are selling this as the big thing, right? It's kind of weird. Like, a lot of the stuff they showcased in this video, it sounded more grander when they used like a lot of their PR words for it. But the moment they showcased it and the moment people understood what they were looking at, it became so unambitious, unfortunately. And yeah, it's weird. And let's talk about the last topic people had a problem with. And that was the weirdest of them all. So Blizzard, over the years, has made sure that every video which had something to do with, like, what can you do in Diablo, always had one topic present. Something which always came in and took some space away. PvP. PvP was this, we want to talk about it, we want to assure you that PvP is here to stay, and it is a cornerstone of what we are planning to do. And as somebody who is looking forward to PvP and will put like a lot of effort and time into when Diablo 4 is coming out, even here on the channel, so prepare your butts for PvP content here, you always had the feeling of, hell yeah, they have understood that there was actually quite a bit of fun in PvP, and there can be fun. I sometimes hear people, and we will have an extra topic about this in the podcast or in the video, I always hear people saying, like, oh man, how do you do PvP in an action RPG? That doesn't really work. And I was like, are you serious? Like, if you are activating PvP in an action RPG, it basically becomes a MOBA when you think about it. It becomes a MOBA. And if you want to see an action RPG which is doing PvP in a certain segment flawlessly, look at Lost Ark. No, I'm not talking about the island PvP because that's shit. I'm talking about the arena PvP. It is absolutely equalized. Nobody has an advantage in any shape or form besides of skill, right? And you think, like, oh man, if Diablo 4 can just somehow distill that and put that into the game, that would be amazing. So I was kind of hyped about to see that they are now talking about PvP in the last part of the video. And I was going like, oh shit, here it comes. Here it comes. And nothing came. I was so anticlimactic. Like, wow. So they basically talked again about the fields of hatred. No explanation how you get there, where they are, which level you have, what you should expect, and all that. Like, it's literally like, yeah, so we have those fields of hatred. This is like an amazing area where your mettle will be tested against other players, and you will kill each other for loot. So, awesome, awesome. I was like, huh? What? No? Can you explain that a little bit more? Of course, they have explained it a little bit more. The problem is they have said the same thing they have said before, that you're going into the zone and you're collecting like those crystals of hatred, I think they're called, and you have to transform them into dust so that nobody can steal the currency from you. And I was like, wait, what? Okay, yeah, we know that. Then they showed very briefly the merchant where you can buy some new items. And they were like, yeah, this is our PvP. It's amazing. It's like, what? You made it. Like, some people were even confused that they showed some PvE moments in the PvP zone. I saw a lot of people talking about this and being confused about it. They were going like, wait, but the first part of the footage was clearly PvE. What do I expect in the field of hatreds? Because they could have explained that it's actually PvE PvP, right? It's a zone with PvE, but also PvP. They have completely failed to explain that. And personally saying, you know what would have been great? If the items you can find on that zone will be droppable, right? Like you can find an item and that item will have a special marking, and as long as you are staying in that zone, you would drop that item. Why is that not a thing? And before you say, well, it's maybe hard to do. Look, they have done something similar, not with items, but with the ear, and of course with the money in Diablo 2, and that is not a hard thing to program anymore nowadays. Like, they could have done that with a bit of effort. And it's like, yeah, you could have made it like an escape from Tarkov kind of thing, right? Where you were more like an extraction RPG or something like that. Like, PvP has transformed over the years. Instead of just mindlessly slaughtering each other, and it's yeah, it again feels completely unambitious. A lot of the other moments the video just had, right? And so people were, of course, not happy about this. Now you might ask, well, but Mo, why are people so, like, unsure about this? Why are they not trusting Blizzard that this will be fine? Oh, I missed one last thing. Sorry, I completely missed one last thing because, oh my god, it was so, how to say it? It was so unambitious and just the most standard shit they tried to sell you as the next big thing that they completely forgot about it for a minute. So there is this new mission board. Excuse me, it's not called a mission board because that's not what Blizzard does. It's the Tree of the Dead. Ooh. And it's literally a tree you go to and the tree is telling you, what do you have to farm? What do you have to kill to get some loot and resources from it? And it's like, oh my god, it's a mission board. You just made it something more lore interesting, but it is still just your dailies. What are you talking about, Blizzard? Right? Like, this, I think this is the problem a lot of people just had. There's, in itself, the endgame would have been fine, the endgame video, if they didn't try to sell it to you as the next big thing. Like, here's your first class endgame content, and what they showcased was second class at best, right? They tried to make it bigger than it was. And why are people not trusting Blizzard in that? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Diablo 3. I know that a lot of people came to Diablo 3 years after the release when it came to consoles for the first time. So they came in with Reaper of Souls, which was the expansion. And a lot of people remember a decent Diablo 3. And unfortunately, for the people who all played Diablo 3 right from the get-go on PC, I'm sorry, but Diablo 3 was absolutely hot garbage. It was a shit game in nearly all aspects. This is why Reaper of Souls, if you are going back to the Reaper of Souls patch notes, even if you have not bought Reaper of Souls, I think it was like 20 pages long, or even more. They redesigned everything with Reaper of Souls. Like, the Diablo of now has not a lot to do with the Diablo which was available at release. It's kind of crazy what they did with the game. And they had to because, well, as I said, the game was hot garbage. It was pay to win, unbalanced, kind of piece of shit. I'm sorry to say this, but Diablo 3 was bad. And a lot of people who have been there for that, especially content creators, they're very cautious when Blizzard is like promising them something. Let me just give you a wonderful example of this to understand. This is just a small thing, but I always love the small things, you know. When they started to roll out Diablo 3 with a friends and family alpha, they allowed streamers and content creators to actually stream that alpha and create content for it. And people were just playing the first part of Act 1, the first 2 hours, where you kill King Leoric, aka the Skeleton King. And that was the friends and family alpha. That's it. You killed Leoric, and the game didn't even show you who the dude was, which did fall from the sky. It was just like, okay, you killed King Leoric. That's it. Thank you for playing. See you next time. And people were like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense, right? It's just friends and family alpha, beta is coming in 3 months. That makes sense. Beta came, and it was exactly the same thing. It was the same thing. Like, exactly the same. Nothing changed, and people started to freak out. Because after 3 months, Blizzard decided to just give the people the same thing they already saw. And people started to question Blizzard. And a lot of people were defending it. A lot of people were going, no, 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 look, it's just like they don't want to show anything. They don't want to spoil us. Like, trust me, after Leoric, it's where the real fun begins. Even Blizzard kind of said that basically the Leoric part is just the tutorial, and then afterwards it's where it really starts to kick off. And then the game came out, and everyone was like, nope, no, it isn't. No, it's not. Or let me give you another example of just the madness Diablo 3 was. We will have a separate podcast before the release about Diablo 3, by the way. But people reached the last new endgame thing called Inferno, and they were all dying. The pros, the hardcore streamers who leveled their characters in like 3 days to max level, they were all just dying there. And Blizzard said, oh, well, yeah, of course you were dying, because we didn't balance it. Like, nobody expected that you would reach endgame in just a few days. We thought we have at least 2 to 4 weeks before the first people even get close to Inferno. So we would balance it after the release. What are you already doing there? I was like, wait, are you blaming the players? Excuse me, Blizzard. Your crazy fanatic players, you have been knowing about for decades now at this point when Diablo 3 came out, that they reached endgame too fast? Yo, what's going on there? Like, and then of course the auction house. The auction house was the biggest blowback they could have just gotten. It was such a casino bullshit where the house always wins. It was bad. It was bad. It destroyed the game. And they always said, we never tampered with the loot. We would never do that. We keep it fair and square. And the auction house is just an addition. And then again, the Reaper of Souls patch notes came out, and they were like, hey, remember our loot system? The one we never tampered with, and we would never have designed in the way to push everyone into the auction house? Remember that one? Yeah, we completely took that, throw that out of the window, and created a new loot system for the expansion. How is that for neutral loot systems? It's like, oh my god, are you serious here? Diablo 3 destroyed so much trust for so many people. So when Blizzard is making a marketing video where they are asking the people, not begging, but asking the people to trust them, you don't trust them. that's the problem. You just don't have any reason to. Especially Blizzard in the last few years had too many blunders that people would go, oh yeah, man, I totally trust you. Like, maybe the Blizzard 20 years ago, if they would have made this video and would have asked for trust, people would have gone, oh yeah, sure, man. Oh yeah, yeah, I totally got you covered. But nowadays, Blizzard, nah. There's just no reason for it. And, like, I can see how a lot of people just got reminded of what happened with Diablo 3. And they were like, no chance, man. You have a lot to prove. Like, keep something in mind. And this is the last thing I really want to talk about it, because this was already 30 minutes of just criticism, which I don't really want to do here on the channel. I don't want to be those clickbait drama channels. I hate that. We have enough of that on YouTube, even though it's the channels which are the most successful. I absolutely despise that. But in this case, like, Blizzard shouldn't forget this. There are already a lot of amazing action RPGs out there. We have PoE. We have PoE 2 starting soon. Last Epoch has now slowly established themselves, and they are coming out by the end of the year. And a lot of people are just surrounding that game. Maybe we are getting a Grim Dawn 2 at some point. Who knows? Like, again, Blizzard is not the king of the RPGs anymore. Diablo is not the king anymore. That's PoE now. PoE is the number one. If you like it or not, that doesn't matter. Like, you just have to see it, the numbers, and you go, this is insane. They just had their new season a few days ago, and they broke all the records. Again, a 10-year-old game is breaking all their player records, right? Because the new season is just absolute hype. And funny enough, Diablo 4 probably helped. Like, a lot of people played the beta of Diablo 4, and they were like, oh, has this itch I have to scratch. What are we playing? Oh, new season of PoE. Let's get into that, right? Like, but the point I want to make here is, you're not alone anymore, Blizzard. The days of you being the ruler of the action RPGs are over. You have to prove a lot. And kind of funny, I remember when Diablo 3 came out, a lot of people were saying, nah, I will stick with Diablo 2. Now, Diablo 2 got older and older, didn't get any content anymore, and just looks absolutely rubbish at this point. Remember, please, 2 years ago, you released Diablo 2 Resurrected, a game which is now looking as good as Diablo 4, maybe a little bit less, but still really, really good. And it's now getting new content. Diablo 2 is getting new content, and Diablo 2 is still an amazing game nowadays. So you basically released your own competition 2 years ago. So it's this, man, Blizzard, Diablo 4 will be successful. I think the beta swayed a lot of people into the right direction. But don't undermine that too much, please. That's the fear I have a little bit. That they are starting now with 2 months to go to just create a lot of content which might sway people again into a different direction. So don't do that. I mean, we all want a Diablo 4 we will enjoy, and we all want that Blizzard is not, like, screwing it up again. It's as simple as that. With that said, folks, please don't forget to like and to subscribe to the channel if you haven't already done that on YouTube. If you're listening to this on Spotify or some other platforms, do your thing there if you want to have more of those podcasts on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/@molerp. Yes, YouTube has now a new system where you just put an at and then the channel name to find the channel. We are also doing like a lot of Diablo 4 content, videos, class guides, PvP. We just started our Diablo 3 story playthrough in some live streams if you want to check that out. And you can also find me on my main channel from Monday to Friday, streaming on YouTube. That is youtube.com/@chaosmole or youtube.com/chaosmoleofx if you want to use the partner link. It's the same thing in the end. And if you want to check that out, I would appreciate it. And yeah, with that said, I will be back with a new Diablo podcast next week, because that was actually the regular podcast I want to do with the regular topics, and that is still happening next weekend. So, well, next week on Monday. Thank you very much for watching or listening, and I hope I see you next week. Stay safe, and welcome to hell.